Welcome, everybody, to the next episode of the Pixel Fuel podcast. My name is Marek Hasha, and I will be your host today. I'm one of the Pixel Fuel guys. I do all sorts of stuff at Pixel Fuel. And today I have the pleasure of welcoming Dr. Zach Fitzwalter from Brisbane, our special guest who will be discussing gamification with us. Hello, Zach. How are you?
Hi. Yeah, good. Thanks, Marek. Thanks for the invitation to be on this podcast.
Great. So let me ask you a very direct question to kick off with. Why should we care about gamification in one sentence? Why should our listeners care about gamification?
Oh, that is a good question. Straight to the hard question. I love it.
Yeah, right.
So why should you care about gamification? Well, if you care about motivation, then you should care about gamification because it is an excellent way to motivate people.
All right. So you're a speaker, you're a trainer, right?
Yes.
What are you mostly busy with? Is it workshops or is it consultancy work?
Yeah, look, I focus primarily on two things. So the first part of kind of my business or the work that I do is on education. So it's about educating people, and that could be in the form of speaking. It could be in the form of running training workshops. I'm also currently writing a book as well as putting together online training and online workshops, and I lecture at university as well. So education, so teaching people about gamification, mm-hmm. about engagement, about motivation, and about design is one half of the things that I do. And then the other,
What faculty is that on? Because I don't know. To me, it sounds really interesting to be, you know, studying only gamification, or is it just a specific course, part of a bigger program?
Yeah, a good question. So, well, I've worked at a couple of universities now. So, the first university, it was based within the science and engineering faculty, so kind of under the IT degree itself. And that was a master's program I put together on learning about gamification. And then currently I'm working in a design faculty now in New Zealand at a university there. And yeah, we're looking at gamification as one way in which to approach design.
Interesting. Yeah. So I think that's going to be interesting for most of our listeners who are mainly entrepreneurs, marketeers, people involved in the design and development of digital products. But we'll get to that later. Let me just ask you more about your consultancy services or the workshops that you provide. So who is a typical client of yours? Who is the person who buys something like that, you know, a workshop focused on gamification or like a gamification report?
Yeah, great question. So at the moment, although a gamification can be applied to such a wide range of areas, probably as you know, because it's all to do with motivation, I'm focusing my efforts primarily on the UX and digital product areas. So looking at UX and digital product designers who want to create more engaging apps and software, and then also on educators as well who want to create more engaging learning and training environments. And this could be both online or offline. So those are the two markets that I'm focusing on. And they could be from research, they could be from private industry, they could be from government, but it's just those two markets that I'm really keen on at the moment.
All right, interesting. So just for our listeners who are not really sure what gamification even means, in my opinion, it should be the process of adding elements taken from the game environment, applying it to non-game products or services, right?
Yes.
But so could you maybe use one specific example, one of your references, to illustrate what gamification means in practice?
Sure. So gamification is all about motivation. It's about motivating people to do things. So within a digital product, that could be, for example, getting people to find out. So motivating people to find out about a product, to download the product, to try it for the first time. And to keep using the product. Let's use my first gamification app ever. So this was an app that I built as part of my PhD thesis. And it was an information-based app to introduce new students at university to the university lifestyle and the campus. So the idea was it provided a map of the campus to show people where things were. It provided a list of things to do. And some other things in there as well. But the idea was with gamification, I wanted to add gamification in order to encourage new students, not just to use the app, but to actually go and do the things that the app wanted it to do. So for example, I added game elements to encourage students to explore the campus. So adding kind of challenges or achievements, added challenges and achievements that encourage students to connect with others, so to meet new people and to complete key tasks. So the idea was, we added a bunch of different game elements really to motivate the students to use the app.
Interesting. But so you mentioned a couple of specific elements of gamification, the elements that you applied in this specific reference. We'll get to those later on. But let me ask you one thing. So you've already mentioned motivation, the word motivation, a couple of times during the few minutes of this podcast. So what other approaches are there to increase the motivation of users in a digital environment?
There's lots of different ways and approaches in which you can look at motivation, and it really depends on what you're trying to motivate people to do. But you know, gamification is just one approach. There are other ways in which to promote motivation. So other examples could include using extrinsic rewards, so rewards and recognition. And we just have to look at software such as Uber or Airbnb. They use a referral system quite well, where if you refer the app and get people to download it and use it for the first time, then they get a discount and you get some money as well to use for your account later. There is things like habit forming. So you could look at how you can encourage people to create habits around using your software or your app or your product. And you may use different triggers like notifications in order to promote that. So that's just a couple. But there are many other different ways in which you can approach motivation. And gamification is just one other way, which is quite useful as well.
All right. And so why and when should gamification be the way to go? Well, how can I decide if gamification is the perfect approach for my project?
So if you have a motivational problem, then gamification could be used as a way to look at it in a game-like way and to motivate people. So basically, the nice thing about gamification is basically if you have a motivational problem, you're trying to motivate someone to do something, or you're trying to motivate yourself to do something, then you can look at this gamification approach as a way to do it. So gamification doesn't necessarily mean turning it into a game, so, you know, creating a game. It just means making the activity or the task or the interaction more motivating in the way that games are motivating as well. So, you know, having a clear goal, having rules, having feedback, a sense of progress and challenge, all of these things game designers know keep people engaged with games. And it's looking at how we have kept people engaged with games and applying those to other areas.
Yeah. Just zooming in on the process of gamification and how it increases motivation. So we have two types of motivation, right? We have extrinsic motivation and intrinsic motivation. And extrinsic is based on some external sources, some external maybe rewards or punishments, right, that we get from others or from the environment. And intrinsic motivation should come from, well, doing the particular task or activity by itself, right?
Yeah, when you enjoy the activity so much that you're doing it for the, you know, because you enjoy it so much.
Yeah, so do I understand it correctly that extrinsic motivation should ideally, in the long run, generate intrinsic motivation? Or is that not really the case?
Yeah, good question. Not necessarily. So, you know, extrinsic motivation and intrinsic motivation are two different things. It explains the reasons behind why we do something, basically. So gamification can be integrated in a way where it provides an extrinsic motivation for someone, where you're doing a task because you want to receive a reward or a badge or some points or leaderboards. And we see examples of this for, you know, in call centers where the task itself is pretty boring, you know, calling people up, giving them some feedback or helping them or selling a product. And so we might add extrinsic rewards to motivate people. So, you know, you get this reward when you complete 10 great calls or something like that. So for them, the activity is so boring that they aim for the extrinsic reward. They're doing it. They're extrinsically motivated to get that reward or to avoid punishment. But gamification can also be integrated in a way where you focus on the existing process or the product or the behaviors and try to improve it in the way games are motivating. So games themselves are usually intrinsically motivating. When we play a game, we're not doing it because, you know, we'll get in trouble if we don't play a game, or we're not doing it because someone's giving us money to play a game. Usually, you know, we have to pay money to play games. So you were often, you know, we enjoy playing games. We like, you know, sitting down, playing games, the actual process of it. So looking at how we can turn activities into more intrinsically motivating tasks by copying kind of what games do, having a clear goal, clear feedback, clear progress, sense of challenge, mm-hmm. you can also make things more intrinsically motivating as well. So putting the scaffolding in.
Mm-hmm. So you mentioned boring activities, boring tasks,
yes.
and being gamified. Can gamification backfire when it comes to motivating people to do boring stuff?
Oh, totally. Yeah, definitely. And there's some great examples of gamification backfiring.
Really?
Yeah.
Are you sure?
So it generally happens when you have a mismatch where the goal of the gamification doesn't exactly line up with the actual goal of motivation. So the behavior you're trying to promote. And this comes down to the often because it's really hard to measure some things with technology or to measure some things automatically. One great example I bring up all the time is I saw a forum online and they added achievements to encourage people to post on the forum. So to make new posts. But the problem is they gave out the achievements for the number of posts that you made. Whereas a forum, you want to kind of promote quality posts, right? Yeah. But quality posts are really hard to measure. So, you know, what's really easy to measure is the number of posts someone makes.
Yeah.
So what they found was someone made an entirely new section of the forum just dedicated to getting those achievements. So technically gaming the system in order to achieve those results. So it had kind of the opposite effect of what they were hoping.
But fair enough, maybe they had fun yeah. while doing it. You know?
Totally. I mean, yeah, they still engage with the product, right? It might have had some fun. So even then, when it does go wrong, you can still have a benefit from it.
Might it be that gamification is just not appropriate at all in some settings? That, you know, some people might claim that it ridicules the whole process of doing something when it's gamified. When you get achievements for it, etc. So
yes.
Do you think that sometimes, or it probably is this case, but could you maybe share another example of when gamification can hurt the product or a company?
Yeah, sure. So, I mean, just the idea of making something gamification doesn't mean turning it into a game. And if, you know, it could just be looking at the current process and trying to improve it by, you know, making it more game-like. In the sense that you're, you know, giving a clear goal, etc. But you can mess it up if you don't understand who your players are and kind of what they like. You know, for example, you wouldn't give a small child a copy of Grand Theft Auto because that game would not suit a small child, right? Just as you probably wouldn't give a 35-year-old male, the most average game player, a copy of a game for kids like My Little Pony. They might like it, and that's totally fine, but it's not suited for that target audience. So making sure you have game, if you are using a game theme or game aesthetics, making sure that it suits the target player or the target user is really important. And it's got to kind of suit the values of the company as well and not really clash in that sense with the values and what you're trying to represent as a company or as a piece of software. And then you've also got to think of the context. So if you are adding game elements, sometimes, you know, turning something into a game might not be the most appropriate. I've seen lots of financial institutions add game elements to encourage, you know, saving money, etc. But
right.
I can imagine, for example, if your credit card got canceled or stolen or your identity was stolen, trying to play a game to get it back might not be the most appropriate thing. So it really depends on the people, the activity, and the context in which the gamification is being applied.
Okay, so but what one of your clients, I think, was also a bank, right?
I have worked with financial institutions before, yes.
Yeah. So it is actually possible to come up with a gamification project, even in the banking sector, appropriately used.
Totally. Yeah, there's been some really interesting ones. Mint was one of the early ones that integrated gamification or game elements to encourage people to look at the way they spend and to encourage good spending habits. And we're seeing a lot more game-like elements being integrated as well with other banking apps these days too.
All right, let me go to a bit of a different topic. I know that you also provide workshops of focused on gamifying team cooperation, right? How does that work? How can I imagine this workshop being run?
Well, mostly the workshops I run are around training people about gamification.
Okay.
But however, we have done things in the past which has encouraged cooperation between people at events, for example, so running scavenger hunts or encouraging people to play games together. So yeah, not so much the cooperation side of things, but more games on more
like performance or
about training, just learning about gamification and motivation primarily. Okay.
In your experience, is this well accepted by all teams, or does it maybe only work with younger companies, with younger staff?
No, some of the best gamification workshops I've run have been with, you know, real institutions that have been around for ages and are looking for new ways to innovate or looking at new approaches to their products. So, you know, gamification can be applied. You just kind of need a champion, someone who's interested in it. And it's important to remind people that no matter what our age is, we all play games. And this is something that, you know, I think there's a stereotype that it's only young children who play video games. But yeah, in actual fact, I think the average age is about 35. It's about a 50-50 split for male and females. And I also like to remind people that, you know, playing sports are a form of game as well. If they play board games or card games or poker, they're all games and we all play games. And so it's important to remind people that.
Yeah, so you are confident that you can come up with gamified elements that will not be perceived as just something childish, even in environments with older teams?
Yeah, definitely.
All right.
There's some really interesting approaches that have been done, and for really interesting areas as well.
All right. Just stopping at one critical point that I marked down. To me, it seems that we really do have a lot of gamification in our lives. We were discussing this with my colleagues at Pixelfield a few months ago. It just seems like every single digital product needs to have some gamified elements in it these days. Why is that, in your opinion? Why are we so obsessed with gamifying our lives, and what does it say about our society?
I think we're just bored and we want to play games all the time, right? It's a good question. We are seeing more and more gamification being added to apps and things like that. I guess the reason is we are looking now beyond. So when we're developing a product, usability was a big thing. We've kind of got usability out of the way now. Usability is something which is pretty standard. You need to have good usability in whatever you develop in order to get people just to use it. Otherwise, they can go find another app that does the same thing, right? But has good usability. And so if we're looking at ways to make our products, our software, have them differentiate from others, we've got to look beyond usability and we've got to look at engagement. So how can we make, you know, our apps or software more engaging? And gamification is just one approach to that. And so what it means is people are looking for new approaches to make more engaging software in order to get people's attention, to get them to use their products. And so, yeah, we're seeing gamification being used more and more as a strategy for that. But yeah, it can't go too far.
Do you think it's just a hot trend, or is this the standard that we'll live on?
So yes and no. It was a hot trend, definitely last decade. When we saw so many people get so excited about gamification and jump on the hype train and being like, we should gamify everything. And the problem was people were looking at gamification as kind of a silver bullet. They were like, this will fix all our engagement problems, but not really understanding how to effectively apply it. And that's the real key takeaway is, you know, designing a good game is really difficult. When we talk about games being really engaging, it's only a small kind of section of all the games made that are really, really engaging. And it's the same with gamification is, you know, you've got to design the gamification well in order for it to have an impact. There is something like 500 games released on the App Store every day, right? Not all of those are going to be fantastic games. And so you've really got to make yourself stand out, design the game and the gamification well in order to have an impact.
Mm-hmm. So your work as a gamification designer, does it consist more of, you know, like proper hard science or intuition and your own experience and just, you know, being a playful designer?
Yeah, definitely. I'd like to say it's all intuition, but no, doing a PhD thesis meant I read a lot about game design and a lot about motivational psychology. And so for me, gamification is deeply rooted in both. So in particular, look, game design, yes. So understanding what makes a game engaging. There is an art to game design, though. And, you know, you can basically mitigate a lot of the of bad game design or issues with bad game design by just following a good design process. So this is a process, you know, which I'm sure lots of people use when developing products as well, is that, you know, you build a prototype, you test the prototype, you see the impact, and then you change it. It's the same with game design. It's all about building prototypes very quickly and play testing them to see what works and what doesn't. And then the other side is, you know, when we look at game design, I guess people have come to gamification by looking at games and seeing how some games are super engaging, like World of Warcraft, for example. You know, we've spent a lot of time in World of Warcraft, something like 50 million plus hours, 6 billion years together playing this one game. And those games, people are like, wow, if those games are so engaging, how can we make other things more engaging? But I guess we have to look at the reason, you know, in which why these games are so engaging in the first place. And if, for that, we have to look at motivational psychology, understanding what people want, what they desire as human beings, and how to support things like intrinsic motivation. And there's some really interesting theories. Two I recommend looking at is the theory of flow and self-determination theory, in order to look at what, you know, makes things really intrinsically motivating.
All right. Definitely. We'll check those out. Yeah, and so your website says that you've earned one of the first PhDs in gamification in the world. Could you tell us where and when that happened? And do you think that in academia, is gamification still just an emerging field, or is it well established these days?
Yes. So you'll note I did put one of the first. So I'm not sure if I was the first. So I can't make that claim, but definitely one of the first. That was quite interesting. So that came about from wanting to do a PhD thesis in the area of games, but also I did some work. I did an internship at Nokia when it kind of still existed, and you know, was really interested in mobile devices and their ability to capture information about us, like steps and health-based stuff, fitness stuff, the number of hours we sleep, our location. And so looking at how you could make games in the real world in order to motivate people really interested me. And at the time I was calling it pervasive persuasive gaming, which was a bit of a tongue twister, didn't really stick. So luckily when I started my PhD back in 2010, the word gamification appeared, and I looked at that and I was like, this is great. So gamification was very new. It only really came about in the last decade as being a popular area. It grew immensely in popularity. The initial research was kind of, it wasn't solid research in the sense that there needed to be more empirical research done to understand really the impact that gamification could have. And I think now there's a move in research, particularly in the last couple of years, to promote empirical research to look at the impact of gamification. So there's been a couple of really good literature reviews that have looked at the impact of empirical gamification research. And also there's been a really good paper released by Richard Landers and a couple of researchers in his group, which has really promoted a focus on good gamification research. So I think it was an area which was very new, but now it's starting to mature quite a bit, both in industry and research.
Should other researchers be jealous of gamification researchers in terms of that they have the most exciting field of to research in?
Look, it's just it is exciting because games are very, like, they've come into the mainstream now. They're very popular, and it's great if you can write off your games as a tax expense, so I like that. But it's just like any other research, and really the amount of time I get to play games during the week is not nearly enough. I'd love to be able to spend more time. But it's just like any other research, and approaching it with that kind of research hat of doing good research and proper research is important.
Yeah. Let's jump to gamification in digital design, because that's, I think, the most important bit for our listeners, and also that's probably your main activity these days. Could you maybe start by sharing one very common and one very unique example of gamification in a digital product? So that can be either website or app.
Yes. Let's do a web, both a website and an app. Let's go with Duolingo. It's a pretty popular, well-known application. And Duolingo, basically, it's an app you can use to learn a different language. It presents to you a number of challenging tasks, and you complete those tasks, you level up, and you can slowly learn different languages. They have so many different languages on there as well, ranging from, you know, Spanish, Japanese, to even Klingon, I think, for Star Trek out there. But what they did was they looked at traditional ways in which people learn languages, you know, via CD, via in-person lessons, and provided kind of a new approach to learning a language, which has become quite popular. And they've done some really nice things with gamification. So, you know, it's not all about extrinsic rewards. There, you do get points, you do get to put yourself on a leaderboard, but most importantly, they've created really engaging activities. So the core mechanic of learning a language is presented in a game-like way. You have to fill in the blank. You have to speak through the microphone. It's quite interactive. And I just really like the gamification that they've done.
So that's quite a common example, I think, quite well-known.
Yes.
Do you have some particular, maybe a bit of a niche example of gamification being applied to a digital product? Something maybe from Australia that we Europeans do not really know.
Yeah, good question. Look, Australia is a little bit. There's some good stuff that's coming out of Australia. Have you heard of Zombies Run?
No.
Okay, it's not Australian, but I think you'd like it. It's more of an applied game, and this is another conversation. Is the definition of gamification, and people have various definitions of what a gamification is versus an applied game versus game-based learning. But basically, as long as you're kind of using games to motivate, we can kind of say we're all on the same page. But Zombies Run is an app that it came out of the UK, and it is a little bit different to other fitness apps out there. So if you think of Fitbit, if you think of Nike Plus, if you think of Strava, you know, they're kind of traditional. You record your activity, you get points or badges for achieving milestones in it, and you compare your results to other people. But Zombies Run was a little bit different. It was a game-like experience. So, well, basically, it has a story. It's all narrative-based. So you put your headphones in, you go out for a run, and a zombie apocalypse narrative unfolds as you go for a run. And you're put into this world as a runner. Yeah, it's cool. And this story unfolds about, you know, zombie apocalypse and how you're part of that zombie apocalypse. But if you decide to, so it makes running more interesting and motivating because you get to listen to a story unfold as you run. But there is a nice feature. What's that?
Well, might be quite fun, but continue, please. What's the fun feature?
It's a lot of fun. Definitely worthwhile checking out. And it's free as well. But the fun feature is if you turn it on, it has zombie chases. And so it uses the GPS to work out how fast you're running. And you hear zombies breathing down the back of your neck. And have to speed up. And if you don't speed up, then zombies get you and they get all the items that you've collected for your base. So, you know, it's...
That's a proper game. It really does sound like
exactly.
A game.
Does blur the line between kind of gamification and game. It really depends on, you know, why the purpose, I guess, or the intent of the product you've designed. So if you've designed it to be a game for entertainment purposes, then it's probably a game. But the fact that it's getting people out motivated and running means it's having an impact on people's health as well. So it can be seen, I think, as gamification too. But yeah, it's great. I recommend all the listeners should download it, try it out. It's a good example of creating something quite unique and different.
Will do for sure. So regardless of the focus of a digital product, engagement is probably the holy grail of, I would say, all digital products. Why is gamification a good choice for giving engagement a boost? And what is how is it different from increasing motivation with gamification?
Yeah. So I love the topic of engagement. It's really now a big focus of mine. So it's looking now beyond gamification, beyond motivation, and focusing on engagement. And to me, there's three parts or three pillars of engagement for every product. And one is value. So your product should provide some kind of value, something that people actually want for a particular reason. The second pillar is that it should be easy to use. So usability is really important to nail. Because you want to reduce that friction between people downloading or getting whatever your product is and then getting to that value as quickly as possible. Mm-hmm. But then sometimes people need a little bit of a nudge to get to that value. So even if you have great usability, you have clear value, you sometimes need to nudge people to motivate them to either form a habit around your product or to just get them to do a certain thing with your product to try it out for the first time. And yeah, I think gamification is great for that. It's an approach which works really well for that third pillar, that motivation aspect, generally because, you know, gamification can be really easy to integrate, as opposed to a reward system, like a real life reward system where you're giving money or vouchers and things like that. Gamification is digital, it's virtual, and it doesn't need to be complicated as well. You can just make little tweaks or add little things in order to motivate people with gamification.
All right. So, is gamification, does it work better when your goal is to increase short-term motivation and short-term engagement, or maybe the long-term behavior and motivation of your users?
Well, it's so a good question. So what was the last game you played?
It was probably Candy Crush.
Was it? Are you still playing Candy Crush?
I am. It's my the pleasure. Yeah.
Yeah, right. So how long have you been playing Candy Crush for?
Years.
So yes. Yeah, so in some cases, some games can be... So I'd say the majority of games, you know, you pick up, you play for a bit, and then you finish the game. So if you think of Super Mario, once you've saved the princess or got the highest score in each level, then you probably stop playing the game. So a lot of gamification is still like that. It's kind of like, it's good for short-term motivation, but once you kind of have won the game or completed the game or got bored with the game, you know, it can stop being motivating. So I think that gamification is a great way to introduce someone to a habit or to get them engaged with something to begin with, and then hope that they keep using whatever your product is because of the value and because of the usability. However, there are other games like Candy Crush and like World of Warcraft, which consume our lives because they're so engaging. We may play them for various reasons. So I don't know what your reason is, but maybe it's to unwind or just to chill out.
But it's I do not play it often. Only, you know, there are some occasions when you just Candy Crush full time or something. And
mine is Clash Royale. I play way too much Clash Royale, but just because they've got really good habit loops embedded within the game, it just keeps me coming back. And that's when the metagame is quite enjoyable. You know, they might have a good game loop, which is, you know, whatever the Candy Crush is. Just changing jelly beans and stuff in order to line up and match three, but it's the game around that that's motivating. So I think some gamification can continue to motivate people in the long term as well, but it's much harder to do.
I'm not much of a gamer, to be honest, but you probably are. You definitely, I guess you have a good overview of the gaming industry as well. Do you think that there's a trend towards more content within one game to sort of, you know, provide the gamer with more stuff to do, longer tasks, longer quests, so that he is just motivated for a longer period of time?
Yeah, I think once games now, back in the day when they came on CDs and floppy disks, I'm showing my age, but you know, when they came on those devices, it was kind of like that was the game. You know, you got the game cartridge, that was the game, and that was it. But these days, because a lot of games are delivered via digital download, we're seeing a trend towards either games being released unfinished and then more contents being brought out later and later, or upgrades or downloads or free updates are coming later and later as well to keep people engaged with that particular game. So Fortnite is a great example of this. They have seasons where they bring out new seasons every few months or so, and with that comes new content. And all of this is, you know, you pay for the season pass in order to access that season. And as long as the core game itself is engaging. Having all these other things, these collectibles, these things that you can access thanks to the season, it keeps people engaged. So I think we're seeing a trend towards providing more content, but changing the content to keep it interesting around a really engaging core mechanic to keep people engaged for longer. It's the same with World of Warcraft. That came out in 2004, and they kept releasing updates, and people are still playing it.
Mm. To me, it seems that there, you know, in a game, there's so many different types of game elements that you can introduce to motivate the players, and to keep them engaged. But when I was trying to find some overview of the most common gamification elements in UX design, I found five, and those were the first one was goals, the second one was rules, then it was feedback, reward, and motivation. So those five components seem to be the most common components of gamification in UX design. Would you agree, or would you maybe add another component?
I think that's a really good list. I mean, to me, motivation is the ultimate goal of gamification. But I think,
all right.
But I like those first four, the goals, the rules, the feedback, and the reward. I think, so, you know, you have a clear goal in every game. So if we think of Super Mario, a classic one, it's to save the princess. You have rules, so clear ways in which you can achieve that goal. So with Mario, it's always running right. It's jumping on certain enemies in certain ways, not touching enemies in the other. And the combination of goals and rules creates a sense of challenge. And the challenge is kind of what keeps people engaged if there's a challenge to overcome.
Yeah, so maybe we should replace motivation with a challenge instead as a component.
Yeah, but I think challenge does come from those goals and rules as well. And then with feedback as well, if you combine feedback and goals, you get feedback's great to tell people how close they are to achieving that goal. Something that's super important in everything we do. And this is, I think, why step counters are so popular, because they give us a sense of feedback in terms of how close we are to achieving a step goal that never kind of existed before. But then when you combine kind of goals and feedback, you get a sense of progress, and progress can be very motivating as well, seeing how close we are to achieving a goal, how much we've got left. And then, reward's a big part as well. So what do we get for completing the game? You know, do we finish the story? Do we save the princess, the prince? Do we unlock a chest? Do we get access to more things in the game? I think that's great.
But so rewards can also be negative, right? You can be punished for not doing something, not fulfilling a task. Are negative rewards also motivational?
Totally. There's good ways in which to do it. It depends on the product and the motivation goals, but punishing your users for doing certain things could be one way in order to motivate them, make sure they don't do it again.
I would like to wrap things up with one key piece of advice for our listeners who are mostly, as I said before, involved in digital product creation. So they can be entrepreneurs, product owners, developers, marketeers. What would your key piece of advice be to them in terms of using gamification and making the most of it when designing a digital product?
Yeah. So just to learn more about gamification and motivational psychology and design, I think reading books on the topic is really important, just to understand and just see it as kind of another tool in your inventory or your arsenal of tools that you can apply to different areas where appropriate. So wherever there's a motivational goal, you can kind of look at it through a gamification lens, or you could look at it through a lens of other things such as habit building or rewards and recognition, and just seeing it as a potential way to motivate people. And one of the key things with gamification is just to start small, experiment, test, and improve. I guess just like you would with any product you design or with any game design, is just to make a small tweak, add something, and see how people like it.
All right.
Yeah, and I can do a shameless plug if you want, if I'm allowed to. If people do want to learn more about it, I've got a gamificationbootcamp.com, and that's for people who just want to kind of create a gamified solution in 4 to 6 weeks. And then I'm also looking more generally now at engagement for product design, so branching out and have engagebootcamp.com, which is basically we work together. Rather than just online learning, it's actually about working together to create change.
All right. I will definitely check that out. I recommend the same to all of our listeners. And Zach, thank you very much for taking the time and joining us and for all your insights.
No worries. I had a lot of fun. Thanks for the invitation.
Thank you. And have a very bright day. Yeah.
Will do. Thank you. Bye.